As you walk down the grand staircase on the east side of the Gateway Arch in downtown St. Louis, down to the cobblestone brick at the Mississippi River's edge, it's difficult to visualize the scene at the very same spot 10 years ago. At its highest point, the Mississippi stood at 49.5 feet, almost 20 feet above flood stage at the riverfront, halfway up the steps to the arch. The river had never been that high before, nor has it since.
There were people that had never before been flooded, and suddenly it was on their doorstep, and they were just dumbfounded. You know, this is not supposed to happen here.
Jim Cramper should know. He's a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in St. Louis. He says forecasters had their hands full that summer, but they were not caught totally off guard. Cramper says the seeds for the summer's flooding were actually sown the previous year.
It was a wet fall. The river levels for that fall were higher than normal. There was no flooding, as I recall, in the fall, but the levels were higher than they typically would be, because when you get into fall and winter, your rivers typically drop to their lowest points. But they didn't drop that fall there very much because the weather was rather wet. So that was one aspect.
The other ingredients, Cramper says, were a substantial snowpack in the north and high soil moisture levels over the winter. But even with those components in place, flooding won't occur without rainfall.
And that's exactly what happened. We got mountains of rain, and then it just went crazy.
Spring storms swelled small rivers and streams throughout the upper Midwest. They fed the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, which topped their banks in Iowa, Illinois, and Missouri. By the end of April, states of emergency had been declared in Grafton and St. Charles. In St. Charles County, many were watching the Missouri River, which represents its southern border. Rod Zur, then the operations director for the county, had to swing into action quickly.
The first thing that we did was to make an overall assessment to find out what roads were closing down, which areas were going to be in peril first. And where possible, we did deploy loads of sand and sandbags to some of the local residents so they could do flood fighting within their individual subdivisions and harbors and things of that sort.
Amazingly, by late May, the rain stopped. The rivers began to recede, but not for long. In June, a series of slow-moving low-pressure systems stalled over the upper Midwest. With the ground already saturated, tons of water was sent down the Illinois and Mississippi rivers toward St. Louis. Meantime, rain hit the bi-state region hard, causing dangerous flash flooding. Meteorologist Jim Cramper says the unusual weather pattern arrived at the worst possible time.
That's what we kept seeing developing night after night. They would form every night, drift to the east-southeast, dump 2-3 inches of rain. Form the next night, do it again and again. And it just kept on for about a month. From late June through July, the pattern didn't change much.
With the rains, the rivers went back up. There was more flooding in St. Charles County. When the Mississippi River went over the flood stage on June 27th, the floodgates at the St. Louis riverfront went up. Levees north of St. Louis were topped or breached, flooding farms and small river towns. The upper Mississippi was closed to all commercial barge traffic, and bridges over the river began closing in Iowa and Illinois. In July, as the now record-setting rains continued, homes all along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers and their tributaries were evacuated. Sandbagging was now a round-the-clock event. Power was cut in some parts of the St. Louis region. Sewers backed up into homes and businesses. For the media, it was difficult to keep up with the story. Mark Minnelli, a former KWMU reporter who covered the flood, says all other news had to be ignored.
There was no other story. Almost everything which happened locally had something to do with the flood. Everything of importance. Anything else got pushed back.
In addition to the extensive local coverage, the flood of 93 attracted national and international attention.
It's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. The Missouri River spilled over a levee north of St. Louis this morning and rolled on to meet the floodwaters of the Mississippi, already miles out of its banks. A narrow neck of
Kathy
land.
Kathy Lohr was the National Public Radio reporter based in St. Louis at the time. It was her job to tell the country what was happening. She says it was an incredible experience producing memories that will stick with her.
One of my favorite stories was with a woman who was in the St. Charles area who lived in kind of a trailer park area, and it was flooded. And she was an elderly woman, and she would not come out. And there were no boats to take us to this woman, and I can clearly remember 10 years later walking into
the only way to reach some of the area that's been flooded for a week now is wading through the hip deep murky river. The current is swift, legs feel like lead. Water surrounds telephone poles and almost completely submerges street signs. Yet the people who live in the riverfront trailer park aren't bothered at all by the rising river.
I'm Winnie the Pooh. That's the truth. I'm just a river rat called Winnie the Pooh.
A bone-thin woman with short gray hair and rolled-up pants appears on the porch of a white trailer home. Her real name is Wyoming.
On July 17th, President Bill Clinton visited St. Louis to view the damage, convening a so-called flood summit of nine state governors. By the end of the month, thousands of residents had been evacuated, and the Chesterfield Valley was submerged under 12 feet of water. On August 1st, the Mississippi River finally crested at its new all-time high at the Arch. The Missouri also topped out in August, nearly 16 feet above flood stage at St. Charles. By the time it was over, in mid-August, the record books had been completely rewritten. More importantly, lives had been lost, disrupted, changed forever. There had been around 50 flood-related deaths, 74,000 people were forced from their homes, 430 communities were reshaped in some way, and about $20 billion in damage was done by the flood. Can it happen again? National Weather Service meteorologist Jim Cramper cannot say for sure.
Every year, you've got virtually the same chance of it happening. So we could see records set in 04 if the right things come together again. It's just dependent upon the atmosphere and what it wants to do.
While forecasters may not be able to say if the Great Flood of 93 could be repeated or exceeded someday, residents in much of the Midwest say they are certain they'll never forget the summer the rivers rose. For KWMU, this is Bill Rack.